We shall now read from God's holy word the first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, the fifth chapter, 1 Corinthians 5. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not rather mourned, that he that has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For I verily as absent in body, but present in spirit, have judged already, as though I were present, concerning him that has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when ye are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such an one unto Satan, for destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person, this far. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and richly multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus, our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. O eternal, all-knowing, and all-sufficient God, let it not be evil in thy holy sight that we draw nigh unto thee in this evening hour of this day, where it has pleased thee in thy long suffering and in thy tender mercy to bring us together with this part of thy vineyard round about thy word and testimony. In the few weeks that we were not here, one of the members, that mother, is taken away by the hand of death. Lord, what an heavy blow for the dear husband and for the dear children, taken away in the power, in the prime of their life. An empty place in that family, but also in the midst of this congregation. Oh, strengthen and sustain that father and friend with his dear children. And that this heavy blow and this trial may be sanctified to his heart. Lord, we have so many warnings and admonitions in our life, but it is so necessary that the Lord apply it to our hearts by the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit. Teach us all to number our days. We have also in this week, in the beginning, two funerals. And we have seen it before our eyes, what man is. Tis now life is nothing. And as we hope to hear out of thy word in this evening, oh, we are born to trouble. But oh, what an eternal and infinite wonder that there is a way to escape, that there is a name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that for wretched, for undone, for sinful, and for a hell-worthy creature in himself. Oh, that it may please thee, Lord, to open in this evening thy precious word for our mind and heart. Come in our midst and in our hearts. Grant unto us an undeserved blessing. We have no right to least of thy blessings. And there is by nature no room in our heart. Lord, we are so unfruitful. We are so empty. We are so unreceptive in ourselves. Oh, there is nothing on others left for us. If we receive a little knowledge in ourselves, then to condemn ourselves. But oh, that great blessing given unto thy children sometime in their life, that they glorify and boast in the Lord. And in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, because that is life, and that is the way to that peace and to that rest, to cleave unto thee and to trust in thee and to lean upon thee. But O Lord, we have needed that thou teach us, that thou instruct us, because we all are people and men who know nothing. We don't know how we to be comforted, because we are so uncomforted in ourselves. But oh, that in this evening hour, the majesty, the excellency, the necessity, the preciousness of Christ may be uncovered to our soul for the first time or by renewing, and that for thy people and children may be a preparation for the next Sabbath day, for the Lord's Supper. Also those in our midst who are from other places, who are not, cannot with us, but Lord, oh, give him a little of thy love, Och, visit hem, as they thou had dance, and thy children with us in former days. Oh, when the need is so great, that he come for our soul to the bank of despair, that we are sinking away. Oh, then the Lord manifest himself unto us. And then in our hearts, oh, come and dine. And then that wonder, they have to take nothing with them all. They have lost everything. And oh, the experience in their life, the end is nothing else than empty hands, empty hearts, and empty hands and minds. That's all that is left for their people. But all that we receive now out of thy fullness, grace, oh grace, that thy word in this evening as a lamp for our feet and a light upon our path, to excite it and to encourage the hearts of thy children and to uncover all hypocrites and all those who have no divine right to the Lord's table, that many was made wholly jealous, and that thy word was leading to true conversion of many. Remember us and our children. Supply the needs and wants of widows and orphans and widowers, and all who in distress, in sickness and affliction, and sorrow and bereavement, remember them all in their needs and in their wants. Be with all thy servants, anoint them from on high, and also him who is called in this evening to preach thy word in the midst of this people. Help him again, Lord. We are standing time and again for such an high mountain, but thou art a faithful God, making never be ashamed those who some minutes in their life looking unto thee. May it ease, Lord, take away all the objections, forgive all our sins, all our transgressions, and gladden the hearts of thy children, and also our heart in this evening, with the pardoning of all our sins, for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now number 69, as far as it is necessary. Number 69. Be thou my judge, O righteous Lord, try thou my inmost heart. I walk with steadfast trust in thee, nor from thy ways depart. Number 69.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, it is in the way of God's providence that it also may be in his divine favor that we are together in this evening as a preparation for the administration of the Lord's Supper. It is God's own ordinance. Do this in remembrance of me. And that we have time and again a preparatory sermon before the Lord's Supper that is for several reasons. That is, in the first place, based on the Word of God. We find that so clear in 1 Corinthians 11, that man have to examine himself before that he comes to the Lord's table, whether that we have a right to take the bread of the children, because it is a holy supper instituted with that purpose, that weak faith of God's children may be strengthened. There must be something of the work of God in our heart, and not only something of that, but in the same time, there must also be some need for Christ and Him crucified. It is, of course, the commemoration of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there lays something before that, because by nature, then it is clear enough that there is no room for Christ, that there is no place for Him, no desire after Him at all, because we are dead in trespasses and sin, and even with all our profession of the truth, there is no need for Christ in our heart. We have to know something of our sins and of our misery, and of that state in which we are laying and have brought ourselves by virtue of the fall of Adam. If that knowledge is lacking in our heart, really, there never shall be any room for Christ and for His blood and for His righteousness. The preparation for the Lord's Supper that is necessary, that the congregation may hear what are the characteristics of those who are called to that table. There is no place for unholy, for wicked. There is no place for hypocrites and for all those who are boasting in their own work and righteousness. And especially that service that is so necessary to uncover all the false foundations, but at the other hand, to instruct God's people. The people that need for himself all the time instructions, and that needs also an invitation from heaven coming to their heart. We read in up in regard to the hour of our death in Matthew 24, be always ready. And then God's people that have to say, I am never ready, until that the Lord make us ready. And another thing, in the second place, the people that is so ignorant and that is so blind and so unreceptive and so cold and unable that they can never prepare himself for the Lord's Supper. Never. They need, as I have said, instructions. Their blindness is great, and they become more and more blind in their life. It comes even to a point for themselves that they don't know how that they ever shall be converted. And that after 20, 30, and 40 years, sometime that the Lord had converted them already. And then they become more and more unconverted in himself. And no room for Christ. And another thing, not worthy, because you know what there is left for a child of God in their life? Nothing else than to condemn himself. That is the only thing that is left. I hope that the church was filled in this evening with such people. And then, oh, maybe the preaching was not so uneasy. Because if we come to that point in our life and to that realization for ourselves, as that the Lord has said in one of his prophets, that he had left a needy and a poor people, for them shall the gospel be preached. But that is a work from on high. That is also hidden for us. That is also hidden for us. There is many people that think that they are poor and that they are needy, but they never have learned something for themselves of it. Because they show that in the fruit. And if the true work of God is in our heart, then we also shall reveal that in our life, that it is true. And of that people that must not only be instructed, but the people that must also be excited. Because on our side, people, then it is always impossible. On our side, we are never receptive until that the Holy Spirit made us receptive for Christ and for Him crucified. We have heard that in these last weeks, time and again, after Easter, in all the examples which we have in the Bible, there was not one of those apostles, not one of the women, who came to them by himself to Christ. Not one. But he visited them all. He knows where they were, what their condition was and their circumstances, and then he revealed himself unto them. And with less, they were not whole. With less, they were not whole. They have well a word from the holy angels, and that have gladdened the heart of the women, but brought those women to solution? No. Only then, when the Lord himself revealed himself and said to them, peace be unto you, and that they hear his own voice. And with less people, with less it is impossible for us that we behold. It is impossible. And now from outside, oh, I think all the people we've seen of some of the people in our midst that have something of that life in their heart. Oh, and that gladdened us always to see him. Always. Because when we have to preach for that people, that is an awful test. If there now is something of that people that have some life, oh, then I always have hope, always, that the Lord will give some words, some opening, really. Because more or less, they are always looking for that. And they are longing for that. But then there are people that have to say, Lord, I am not ready. No. I am so far from thee. Sometime for their own consciousness farther than the north is from the south and the west is from the east. And how shall it then be the Lord's Supper? How can it be that I come there now? Oh, maybe other people, but not for me. And still, oh, they have all some experience that at those times that the Lord will comfort them, that he will strengthen them, that he will give them some provision on the way through the desert and the wilderness of this world. We have experienced that here, sometime in the East, in your midst, and in the other congregations too, that with such times that the Lord reveal himself so many times, and that he gladdened for a while the heart of the people. It is not staying, oh no, because as long as we are living here in this world, then the Lord is coming and the Lord is going. That is it always. And we receive not so much because we are such danger persons. And of course, at the other, in the other, on the other hand, was there more lacking here, then we would receive more in our life. That is also true. But now, always we need the instructions from on high and an encouragement from the Lord. And in what way that we have to commemorate the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, I hope in this evening to explain a little with the assistance of the Lord out of that text that you will find in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Thus far. The proper use of the slain paschal lamb. That is the subject of our text. In the first place, to that end, God's people must be aroused. Second, to that end, God's people must be prepared. And in the third place, to that end, God's people must be enlightened. You know the connection of my text for this evening. Paul, he was for a year and a half in the city of Corinth. And before that he go there or went there, then the Lord, he had promised that man something. It was an awful big and a wicked city. More than 600,000 people was living in Corinth. The truth was not there. And the life of the people was of an heathen's life. But now the Lord, he promised that man before that he came there, that he had many people in that city. And in that year and a half that Paul was in Corinth, then from week to week the Lord, he converted that people. His ministration was wonderfully blessed there. And it took not such a long time. And then there was in Corinth a big congregation. But of course, Paul, he had to leave that city. And then they were without a minister. And it took not such a long time. And then the people, of course to a certain extent, then they came back to their own life that they lived before. The life of a fornicator, drunkards, There were awful sins in that congregation. And of course that was a grief for the Apostle Paul when he heard that after that he had left that city. And it was for that reason that he wrote those two letters with a purpose to convince God's people that their life was wrong and that they never would receive the favor of the Lord over such an unpermittable life as that they lived there at a time. And then amongst one another there were so many splits, and there were so many people. One he said, I am of Cephas, another he was of Peter, third one of Christ, and there was no love and there was no unity between one another. And for that reason, Paul, he said, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. And therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Now in the days of the Old Testament, at first, then the lamb was slain. And after that death had taken place, then they have the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. There was, of course, there's a connection between the lamb that was slain and that feast of unleavened bread that was held in the midst of the people of Israel. It was in the first place, of course, all in accordance to the ordinance that the Lord had given the people. You know, it was every year a remembrance of what had taken place in the days of old, that the Lord has delivered the people of Israel out of the house of bondage, and that on the basis of the blood of the Lamb that was on the lintel and on the doorpost. And that was always a remembrance for the people that there was no any right in them. Why? That the Lord had spared them, and no any right that the Lord had delivered them. Because, and that is always the truth that we have to preach in the midst of the congregation, that our only right that we have, each and every one that lays in hell, there is our right, people. And when the Lord comforted us, and he convinced us by his Holy Spirit, then we all come to that knowledge. All. And that there is no sacrifice outside for our sins, but that the Lord had to reject us, that the Lord had to cast us away out of his holy sight. A Pharisee, he cannot understand. No. He comes against. And that kind of preaching that is a bitterness, that is a stumbling block for all the Pharisees in the church. But for the publicans, it is a glad tidings. And all we have, my friends, to examine ourselves whether that the principle of the work of God is in our heart. And now the Lord, He is free in all His ways. If you take the conversion of Paul and the conversion of Timothy, then you would say outwardly what a great difference. Timothy, from the days of his youth, he was privileged and highly favored with that divine grace in his heart. Paul, he was 30 years old. Then it happens that the Lord lay him down on the way of Damascus. And where he was before as a lion, then he became there a lamb. But still the principle, people, the principle that is all the same. Because we all, with all our religion, we are all dead in trespasses and sin. And I hope that also our congregation here in this country, that the Lord protect them, and that the Lord preserve them, that they never come to a certain kind of doctrine, as it is in general in our days, that the people can knock on the door, that the people can cry to the Lord without the true work of God glorified in the heart. I hope so. And it is well necessary for our coming generation that we emphasize it. Because in general, there comes more and more in the back. And there is so many people converted. But the principle of the work of God is nothing wrong. There is not, there is no beginning. And there must be a beginning of the work of God in our heart. And if that is lacking, then it is all wrong, our whole life. Then it is all wrong. And conscience work that is not saving work. No. And it is necessary also in the sermon as in this evening that we explain the difference. And each and every one here to examine himself. I believe for 100% that we are rational creatures. That we are responsible for our life. I believe that. We are not an animal. And we are not a devil. We became not a devil in our fallen Adam. No. We remain rational creatures. But shall now our responsibility be ever a savior for us? No. We have to say no. And we have to emphasize the necessity of the true work of God in our heartbeat. And without the irresistible power of the Holy Spirit, and that the Lord has poured out His love in our heart, then we remain dead in trespasses and sin. It is a serious point, really serious. And our work and our crying, we never can lay it as a foundation for salvation. Never. But we always have to place in the foreground the work of the Lord. Polish the road to the Philippines. He who has begun the good work in your heart, he shall finish it till the day of Jesus Christ. And when the beginning is from the Lord, people, then the end shall be well. The end shall be well. There is no doubt about it. And then the instruction of the Lord towards that, for that people, that is all the same people. And even when they come out of Russia, or they come out the Indians, or out Africa, or out the United States, that is all the same. When I was a boy, or then I hear that old people that was talking sometime of a conversion of Rotterdam, a conversion of America. And then they say they have no reverence for that. It comes still sometime in my ear that I hear that people. Oh, and then they say, a conversion from the other side of the ocean. Oh, no. 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 They were thinking not so much about it. Really. But, oh, people, that is, of course, foolishness. But because when the Lord converts a sinner in the United States, that is the same as in the Netherlands, and that is the same as in another country, he cut them up from Adam and incredited them in Christ Jesus. That's all the same. That's the beginning of the work of God. Not our conviction, and not our tears, and not our crying, but cutting off from Adam and engrafting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it starts. Then after that we are concerned. And then we are crying as an heart cries after the water broke. So cries my soul, panteth my soul after thee, the living God. And what are now the instructions that the Lord gives to all that people? That there is no right at the side of men, but that we are all condemnable. Condemnable. And we come to that knowledge more and more in our life. Yes. Oh, for every benefit of Christ, what takes place in our soul and what is granted unto us, there it lay always before a cutting up from the Lord for every benefit. And in other words, the Lord, he put us always outside before there be any blessing and any benefit granted unto our soul. Always. And it takes always place in a way that it is impossible with men. Always. And the older we are, the more that we shall realize. Oh, people, I want that I have the right words to explain it to you. The right words, but oh, by nature, we are against ourselves. We are against ourselves. Huntington, he wrote to some men about his wife and about himself. And then he wrote about his wife. See, he said, he wrote to that man, he said, oh, she rejected or she refused to ask for a divorcement with Moses. And still, she receives every time so many spanks of him, but still, she refused to ask for a divorcement. And, oh, people, I cannot tell you how deep that word, that root here is in our heart to become our own way. And that enmity that there is in our heart tegen the way of free sovereign grace. Och, tis een fighting against people. And fighting against it. But oh, the blessing that there is in Christ, who is now at the right hand of his Father. He unto him is given all power. In heaven and upon earth. And if that was not so, that he was the Almighty God, there was never hope. And there was never any expectation, people. Because we shall fight till we lay dead on the floor. So long we are fighting with ourselves. And to erect it our own righteousness. And to reject it the righteousness of Christ. And his vicarious work. Oh, people. And if I in this evening were to deliver from that enemy. Oh, then I would clap in my hands. If the Lord would deliver me for that enemy. Against that free and that sovereign grace. Just so many lessons. To come on the floor and to stay on the ground. And to cry, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And then later on, Lord be merciful to a poor sinner. And then later on to cry, be merciful to a wretched sinner. And to a sinner that have to condemn himself day and night. Oh, the people that shall take the crown that they receive. And they shall cast the crown for the Lamb when they enter into heaven. To give him all the glory and all the honor and all the majesty. Because they would say, thou art worthy to receive. And then it is done with us. Then it is done with us. And now there is a text in Job 26. Oh, I'll say it now more in my words because it's so hard sometimes to translate it everything and to say it. But the meaning is that there is no cover for the destruction. There is no cover for the destruction. And oh, the Lord, it is so necessary in our life that he brings us in that pit so deep. So deep that we give it up, people. That we give it up with ourselves. And then, blessed is the man, in whose strength is in thee, and in whose heart are the prayers of the Lord. Oh, it shall be the greatest wonder, people, that enemy hears against free and sovereign grace. Oh, I will become a Pharisee and I will live as a Pharisee. But now all the time as a sinner and as a publican, I have no desire for it. No. I am against it. I am against it. And I hope you can understand it in this evening. That people that have the same trouble as a time. The same trouble. I am an enemy to come in the depths of my fall of hell. I am an enemy. And to give it up. And to lay there nothing in myself. Oh, dear children of God, I say in this evening that there is left a child of God with empty hands, with an empty heart and with an empty head. But there are people that find in Christ everything, only that people. Oh, for that reason now that many said here that Paul, for even Christ our Passover, that is sacrificed for us. and how Christ the unspeakable gift of the Father for all his children and for all his people here on earth. Oh, that they now find in Christ everything what is now necessary to their eternal welfare. Because that is now the only ground for our redemption, people. The blood and the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then my sins, but also my righteousness that falls there away. And I have to lay it at his feet. I lay it at his feet, that he can trodden it down forever and forever. Christ, the only ground of our redemption, the Father satisfied, the Church justified, the attributes of the Lord glorified, and salvation firm and sure forever and forever, and that for an unhappy people in himself, for a people and for a man that had given it up. And that agree with the Lord, because it comes for God's children time that they agree with the Lord. Yes, and all people that know it, that time that they agree with him. Oh, there he lay there so deep before the Lord our Maker. There he lay there so deep in dust and ashes. Then I have to say nothing. No. Then I say amen. Then I say amen. But all people, then the divine approval that we receive there in our hearts. But oh, I told you sometime before in the sermon, covered sins are not forgiven sins. And forgiven sins are not dead sins. If sin died when they are forgiven in justification, oh, yeah, I desire that. I desire that. But in the wisdom of the Lord and in his counsel, the Lord, he said no. He said, no. That old man that shall be with you as long as you are living here on earth. That old man that shall be living alive as long as he are living. Oh, people, and I thought last week, oh, if it now was in my power to break his legs, that old man became lame. Forever and forever, but that is not so. No, he is walking with me. And sometimes so strong that the new life of the new life that lays under it. And oh, that Paul in Romans 7. But then you have to come in Romans 7 first, people. After Romans 5 and 6. Some people that come with that Romans 7 now, with Romans 3, but that is impossible. That is impossible. But in Romans 7, then he comes to say, I am a wretched man. Who shall deliver me from the body of sin? In Romans 7, oh, children of God, I will say in this evening, that your soul not too much be discouraged. Not too much be discouraged. Because the more grace that you receive, the more guilt that you shall have. And the more light that you become, the greater your darkness. And the more freedom, the more captivity. Oh, I want all of you that you know. I want it with my whole heart, yes. And then that enemy that is behind us, they have eyes. The shall faith, thou saved us no rest here in this world. And that is always busy, always busy. And that is subtiler in the relation there is in. You can imagine that. And that is to crucify the Lord's for the second time. That is to crucify the Lord for the second time. And that's more painful than the first time. Oh, yeah, I would say more about it, but I think most of the people, it is hard to follow. Those lessons and those instructions out of that experimental life, inwardly, in the hearts of God's children. Oh, I was standing in this week on two graveyards, and oh, on Tuesday afternoon, then I say to the people, I say, oh, when the time shall come, that they can bear it us. That they can bear it us. Then they can write on the stone of the Sabbath. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. Because all that is of us people that goes in the graveyard and that never shall come out. No. Only what the Lord has wrought in the heart of his children, that shall praise and that shall honor his name. Christ, our Passover. Our Passover, because the Father had elected him. And the Father has given that Christ to his people. And the Holy Spirit, when it comes to the applying of that Christ, then he takes his precious son and he opens the arms of that poor people and he lays him in their arms. And then when he lay in their arms, then the Spirit that comes and he takes our hands to embrace him. To embrace him. And then we could say, my beloved is mine. Then we could say, my beloved is mine. And then, oh, give unto us that wisdom, justification, sanctification, and redemption. Then. And then it is our oldest brother. Then it is our oldest brother. Then we become acquainted with him. And then he is no more stranger to us. And then we could say our Passover is sacrifice for us. In the first time, then he can say it is sacrifice for his people. But to sacrifice for us, that comes closer. That it comes closer, and that there is that people now looking for. They can see. Oh, they can see so much light for other people. But for himself in darkness. And in not only in darkness, people. But oh, a heart full with unbelief. A heart with full of unbelief. And Thomas, he said, except I put my finger in the prints of his nails, and I lay my hand in his side, I never shall believe. But oh, when Christ came for the second time, he had not to do it.
No.
Then that when Christ opened his mouth, peace be unto you, then 'twas all enough for that man. Oh, yes. Then he could say, this is the voice of my beloved. And when I then look to that Thomas, I see him then, oh, crying and crying. He was nothing else than water, because immediately he recognized his voice. He recognized his voice. And then that enmity, that unbelief that was broken in his palm. And then he said, my Lord and my God, all that Passover is sacrificed for us. And now Paul, he said in our text, therefore let us keep the feast. The feast of Passover. But, oh, I have to start again by the beginning. As soon as the Lord opened our eyes, people. Oh, then we observe and we realize that we are born to trouble. That is what we realize. And the more that the Lord uncover our sins and the state in which we are laying, the more sorrow that comes in our heart. Oh, my friends, the Lord never shall forgive dry sins. Never. He never forgives dry sins, but all the sins, they make him wet with the tears. Oh, if you never have a godly sorrow, you never shall receive a godly joy. Never. That is always connected. And of course, the Lord, he uncovers unto us that I'm at the side of men that everything is done. Oh, if the Lord comfort a man, we know nothing about God and Christ. He is so hidden for us and so concealed for us. And what we don't know, we cannot love it. That is impossible. Sometimes you read in the Bible about some things about Jacob, about other people. You take an old rider, and it is the same as if it is in your heart. And even when they are dead for 500-600 years, you love them. You love them. Oh, I have in my home so many idols. Maybe you have not one. Or well, I have, my house is filled with idols in Grand Rapids. Not that we have so much furniture and so nice furniture. No, it is now 11 years old, it's become too old. We need soon new ones. But that's not the meaning. I have so many letters of God's people. And sometimes I think that they're all idols for me. And as sometimes, or especially with husband, then my wife, she said, you can go away, and then I can have something. When you come home, that is burned up. Oh, but oh, time and again, people, then I am so afraid when this house cleaning, then I hide some of those letters. Really? Oh, yes. And sometime I think, oh, the Lord, he said in his holy law, Observe not other gods. You shall not have other gods before my eyes.
Hey. Yeah.
I have understand some. Yes. I have Alice Ransom, but oh, to rent them all, that is so hard. That is so hard. Read. Maybe some cannot understand it, but I hope that the time comes. And now all that we have outside of the Lord, that have to fall away, that have to fall away, and the Lord have to take it away from us. The Lord have to take it away from us. And now, oh, in the first time of our life, that we promise the Lord so much, we are willing to do everything before Him. But oh, there comes a time in our life, people, that we are so afraid to promise something, because we come to the realization that we cannot pay what we promised. We cannot pay our vows. No. And you know what the end is? Disappointed with ourselves, and more disappointed with ourselves. And still, now the Lord, He said in His word, therefore let us keep the feast. Oh, the people of Israel, in Psalm 147, they say, when they were in captivity, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Becomes all strange to us. And as long people, as it came never to solution here for us, our heart, then we can well receive us a moment that we have some encouraging for ourselves. But as long as there is no solution, then how shall we now have that feast for ourselves, people? How shall we have that feast? Oh, the Lord can give that people some opening, and it pleased Him some many times on the Lord's Supper to do it. Oh, yes. He refreshed His people. He revived them. He strengthened them. He sustained them. He upheld them. But now the solution here, people. And they come from that farther and farther, more and more, for their own soul. And when the Lord shall come to bring it to a solution, then that happens at the time that they never have expected. No. The Lord, He is a surprising God. A surprising God. And you ask that people, however, in our days, oh, where shall we go to find Him? Few, very few, that really came to a solution for their own heart. There is more that it thinks about Himself than that the Lord has done it. Oh, yes. Because when the Lord has done it, then we show it in the fruit. Then we show it in the fruit. that it is his own work. And then we have to say something, the same as that Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? And that can say only the people that have received solution for their heart and for their soul. Only the people. And the Lord calls for the feast, for the Passover. And what is now that feast? To rest only in God through Christ and to lean upon his mediatorial work. Oh, we give out money for what is no bread. Then we are living under the law. And the gospel that is only for condemned sinners and for those who have condemned themselves. And we cannot bring ourselves into something. Oh no, we are so unable to do it. Beloved congregation, the Lord had to do everything. And we are blind in every way for the ways of the Lord, till that the Lord brings us to solution and grant unto us light. And we have to learn that it is all free and sovereign grace from the Lord. We have to learn. And now by nature, we are always in between with ourselves. And that makes that way so dark. And that makes that path so uneasy. That we always are self in between of it. But as soon as there comes a time that the Lord put us now as outside and is different. And then it is that free sovereign grace, then it is his eternal love, and nothing else than that. And then Zion shall be delivered, not by sight, people, but that shall be delivered by the justice of God. And that is the foundation of the true work of God in the hearts of his people. That is now necessary, shall it be well. And that our Passover is sacrificed for us. And that all the offerings of ourselves and all our sacrifices are burned up. That there is nothing left, people. And as soon as there is nothing left in us and with us, then there is place that the Lord comes. Then the Lord, he never builds us on that old foundation. No. But he built that church upon that rock of salvation, Christ Jesus. And then that former city never come to a ruin. He has been. And then that old people, you have the same thing amongst Israel. When the second temple was built, that old people that cried. Is that right? That old people that cried. Because they have seen the former glory of their first house. But oh, the people that have a right insight, that was not crying. Their belief that the glory of the second house would be greater than of the first, because Christ would come in there. And now outwardly there was no Yahudah, there was no something looking forward in that new building. Die was dat net dat glorie en dat majesty en dat grander als dat er was in de first house. Dat is in de second house the same people. Dat is in de second house the same. As long as we can display without conversion, oh, that is different. But if we can come on the table with our with an unconverted heart and with our unconverted life, then we have not to show up so much. And then the people that said that man that was before, then he was much more pleasant as that he is now. Oh yes, but the reason is that he nothing to understand it. That is the reason. Because all that people in my midst that have any knowledge of it, of those ways, they come to the realization that it is nothing with us. But now out him and through him and to him are all things. And unto him all the honor and all the glory. That is now that Passover. And then, but I hope you do not understand the throne. And then, after that, that Passover is sacrificed for us. Oh, then it is no more necessary that I am converted. Then it is not necessary for me that I pray, that I do this and that I do that. Why not? Oh, then I have an intercessor at the right hand of his Father. And then Christ is all and in all for me. Then that is our joy. And that is our expectation. And that brings us not to a wicked life, people. No, no. That brings us closer and closer before the Lord, to the Lord. And that we bear the image of Christ. And that our life is Christ. And that we are one with Christ in his death and in his resurrection. And that is now the foundation. Oh, that feast of Passover. Yeah, one old man he said by us through in former days. He said, I have learned for myself to be saved with my arms together. So he was saved. So he was saved. And that is now the way. My work, my religion, my confession, my righteousness, my tears, my hope, my love, my faith, everything of me, gone. But our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast with old leaven, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That means in that, with that new life, that we are walking in the footsteps of the Lord Jesus Christ, loving God, loving our brothers, loving those who are born out God, and laying off malice and wickedness, and that we show in our life that Christ became our sacrifice, our Passover. I hope to say more next Sunday about it, but we have to examine ourselves, people, whether we know something of it for our own heart. Take it as with you. And if you have not understand those explanation in this explanation in this evening, oh, there is no other way to salvation than that. And we have to learn something of it for our own heart. Oh, take it not easy. The Lord's Supper. Thus, I hear somebody that say, oh, you are afraid that there come too much people, too many people here. Oh, it lays all before the Lord. But what I will say is this, that we take it not too easy, that we examine our heart better, that we, with our heart upon our hands, that we could say, Lord, thou knowest everything, and thou knowest that is my life. That is now necessary. But you have heard in this evening, it is based on the word of God. And if we never will have any knowledge of that way and that word, then there is no hope for us. Our life is a shadow. And beloved congregation and father and children, you have received a heavy blow of your dear wife and mother taken away in the prime of their life. Oh, it is eternity. For her, we are still in the land of living. But our life is nothing, people. We are dying here in this world. That is our life. And we need some knowledge based on the word of God, and otherwise we shall never can meet our Maker. All that is seriousness was bind to our soul, and that by the operation of the Holy Spirit that the Lord sanctified to our soul, because that is now the state of our death, people. Oh, it is awful, it is awful. Whatever will happen in our life, it shall never make impression until that the Lord does. So hard and so cold and so dull. Oh, even a child of God, even a child of God, he shall never boast about what he had, but he shall complain about what is left. And, oh, I want that on Sunday morning here. But of course, oh, that is not so. But I want that all God's children living in the East, that they could come next Sunday here but on the Lord's table. Oh, I want to see them all. We have in the Netherlands in some places, and 14 days ago we have it in Zuid-Holland, in the week the Lord's Supper, in the afternoon. But of course, there for the people it is much easier as here. The people is not so busy and they are all farmers. They can come even on the daytime. But oh, then in the Netherlands in some of our churches, then the people that came from other congregations too, where it was the Lord's Supper in the week. And then the people that came together. Oh, and many times it were good times there. Yes, many times it were good times. Really. Because that is now our life, people, with all God's children. Not separations. Not separations. But if it is right in our heart and at least and clear in our soul, oh, then we want all the people now together. You believe? You want all the people together. And then, oh, if it was possible that we could give them a little food and drink, but the Lord have to do it, of course. But, oh, then we would say, Lord, now the last time, oh, it was so good for my soul.
Oh, give now that man up something. Give now that woman up something. The last, the next, last time, oh, they have nothing. They have nothing. I have such a big pussy. But oh, give now that man or that woman, that boy or that girl for something this time. Yes, it is in a spiritual way different as in a natural way. That it is all ourselves, and keep it. But in a spiritual way, no. No. Oh, then Jerusalem that comes up in their heart. Then they, that God's people, oh, they have no and petition for their people and crying and sighing for their people. And then they say, Lord, oh, visit them. And oh, loser bends nose. Oh, Lord, give them nose. That their cup is overrun. Oh, give it. Because our own never comes strange. As strange as never come as our own in the spiritual way. In a spiritual way. And even when we're not born out of our mother, outwardly in a natural way, and that have laid on the same breast, but now spiritually we have the same father, and we have the same mother. And that is ancient, that is Jerusalem here. And that Jerusalem that is there above all. Oh, if I hope the Lord bring all his people the next Sunday and he take everything as away here. All those mountains and all those hills and all the objections what we have outwardly and inwardly. And where the spirit is, there is freedom. I hope it. And those who are with us and who cannot come here, they are in the other congregations. Oh, I hope that the Lord God will give the Lord's Supper to you. I give that the Lord God will give something. Oh, no a crumb from follow from this master's table. Oh, I hope that we have all in the same. I believe the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the life everlasting, the Lord bless and sanctify it to our hearts. And he bring the next Sunday if it can please him. Oh, he bring us new ones here. And that the congregation is impressed that it is the work of God. And that we are glad to be glad. Oh, I hope. Oh, I hope. Oh, melting for such Mephibosheths. Oh, I hope it. That there are many here from that lame people is in the church. I hope it. And that, oh, that there is a wagon, a chariot to bring them all to David. I hope it. And in the cave of Adam, all that people that is sorrowful, that have so many dead, and that have no deliverer, oh, the Lord bring them here next Sunday. And that we will sing of the ways of the Lord. We hope that the Lord made us wonders in the next Sabbath, and that he may gladden our heart. Oh, my heart is open for all that people. That is longing after the Lord, and that can never be satisfied without that he has spoken in peace to the soul. Amen. Lord, bless thy word and testimony. Remember all of us in thy mercy and in thy grace, and grant us comfort from this master's table. Oh, gladden our heart and strengthen us together. And may the 12 with thyself, and that out of free and sovereign grace, to the honor and glory of thy precious name, remember all of us in thy tender mercy, and in thy long suffering, and in thy divine grace. Lord, remember also that mother, that widow of one of thy servants out of the Netherlands, that hope to live in the day of tomorrow, to make their trip to their home, to their other children. Lord, guide and protect her on their way. Strengthen the daughter who is here with her husband. Oh, it shall be not so easy to bid farewell to one another, but may it well with thyself, and remember all of us in thy tender mercy, for Christ's sake only. Amen.
We sing now 384, the last stanza. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, my thoughts, to know. O lead me, if in sin I stray, in path of life to go. The last stanza of 384. And the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.